We're getting underway at Augusta, Georgia, the first round of the Masters. And for the next 4 days, like always, I think we're in for something great. Just the scene itself is unlike anything I've ever witnessed in person. It's the most beautiful piece of real estate I've ever seen outside of, you know, like the Dallas Arboretum. But this is acres and acres and acres of this. And it may not compare to the setting of a course like Pebble Beach, which is right on the Pacific Ocean. But just the course itself, I remember when we went there 5 years ago, even with HD TV, it gives you those beautiful views of some of the looks you have on the course. But when you see it in person, as we mentioned with yesterday when we were talking to Brandel Chambly, it's a lot like when you, if you remember this time, when you walk into your first stadium and you see just how green the grass is, and you look around at Augusta National and you swear, all right, that's got to be artificial turf over there. That's just too pretty to have grass grow that well in every inch of the golf course. But you walk it, it's not artificial turf, it's real grass. It's beautiful. That was so awesome when we got to walk this course back in 2016.
I still can't believe we got to make that trip finally after 20 years of talking about it on the air.
I know.
And we finally got to go, and it was worth every bit of the wait.
Yeah. That's one question, too, is we have this weirdness of we played the 2020 Masters in November. Thank goodness we had one, but with no fans. You will have patrons, as they call them at Augusta National, but that is a good question. How many will actually be in attendance? The best guess is that it will be a small members, their guests, people with connections to corporate sponsors, maybe to the network like CBS or the Golf Channel. My guess is somewhere to like 500 to 800 people. And that's a total guess. I have no idea.
What do they normally have per day? 35,000?
Something like that. Yeah. I want to say 20 to 30,000. I don't know. Maybe it'll be as much as 1,000 or two, or maybe as much as 5,000. I think it's going to be very exclusive, but
There's a very good crowd this morning watching Jack and Lee Elder and Gary Player tee off.
Yeah, it's in the hundreds.
Okay, that are on the first tee just to start. So
yeah, it's pretty
maybe
thick.
We will have 5,000 to 6,000 people out there. I don't know.
Have they already hit their tee shots, or is it right at 7?
They're hitting them right now. Jack is up.
All right. Be sure you let us know if any of them spray it into the crowd.
And a player had a beautiful drive, and Jack is just about to hit it. And he hit it nicely.
All right.
Big shock.
By the way, I think it's great that Lee Elder is now among this threesome to start the Masters.
Heck yeah. That is awesome. Again, you talk about a guy who went through some things as really the only African-American out there on the course. And all the headlines coming out of Georgia these days, that is awesome that he's on the first tee. And Augusta National hasn't always been progressive when it comes to that. They've gotten better over the years. But yeah, it's a great tournament. And it's interesting too, as we talked about with Chambly yesterday, what do we see in the course? You know, Dustin Johnson, the defending champ in November, shot 20 under par. The average winning score was somewhere around 10 under par from 1990 to 2019. And word is that the fairways are softer. They're taking the roll out of that, and they're making the greens really fast. So I'm guessing the winning score will be somewhere around 10 to 12 under par. At least I think that is their intent, to make it at 10 to 12 under par. And I think I like that. I don't know if I like the Masters where it looks like any other tournament, someone's 20 or 21 under par.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I remember some of the tournaments where the greens were really, really fast, and those were thrilling tournaments. You know, when a guy could putt it off a green. Now, sometimes it borders on unfair, but I remember the old, I think it was what Byron Nelson told Dale Hansen, that if he took him to Augusta, Byron said, I could take a ball, place it on any of the greens in a spot where I guarantee you would four putt. And to me, that's what Augusta's always been about, the great putters winning at Augusta. whether it's Jack or Tiger or recently Spieth or Crenshaw in the day. You had to be a great putter to win there. And if the greens are really, really fast again this year, and certainly they're going to be faster than they were when Dustin won last fall, I think that's going to make for a really exciting ride.
Absolutely. And that is where this tournament is won. And that's where if Bryson DeChambeau is going to do this, he will have to get better on the greens. Strokes gained putting since 2016 when he started playing there. Of all the players who qualify, he's 70th out of 76. So that's where it will happen for him. And he's made strides in putting. He certainly showed that in the U.S. Open that he won this spring when he won again and was in contention at the Players. His secret driver, by the way, is going to be 46 inches long. And if you play golf, you will really turn sideways at this. Apparently, the loft of his driver will be 4.5.
Wow.
Not 10 or 12, like a lot of people, regular humans hit. Apparently, it's a 5.5 loft that he's going to bend to make it 4.5.
Didn't Tiger hit a 9 loft?
Yeah.
So that's half of Tiger's loft. Hey, by the way, speaking of Bryson on the greens, did you see the note that he will not have his green reading book, which he relies so heavily on because the Masters doesn't allow them?
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting, and that's another reason why I don't like his chances this week. I just don't think he is a horse for this course. In the way that Spieth is for this course, I don't think Bryson is. Now, he may surprise us, and some of his ridiculous long drives may actually cut the course down so much for him that he is able to score well. But he's played here 4 times. He's never been in the top 20. And I may be way off on this, but I just don't think he's built for Augusta, and especially his new power game. Even though we've seen power hitters from Jack, who was a power hitter in his day, doesn't hit it as far as they do today. But, you know, Tiger, Dustin, power hitters do well at Augusta. I just don't know if he'll do well here ever.
No. That's why, for his sake, I would have thought that maybe his secret weapon would have been a new putter that he was going to try out and or maybe had mastered or something. But we'll see. Yeah, if that extra distance gives him some advantage of hitting wedge where everyone else is hitting 7 irons or 8 irons.
By the way, why don't they allow the green reading books?
I guess they just want it to be harder. Exclusive and harder. And that's where the caddy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty interesting, though, because those guys, you see, those guys have a 5-foot putt and they're looking at a book. You know, they've come to rely on those things pretty heavily. Some other players to keep an eye on: Lee Westwood. Wouldn't that be something at the age of 47? He's been playing really well this spring, battling it out with DeChambeau. He's had 9 top 3 finishes in majors without a win. That's the most ever in golf history. He's had 12 top 5 finishes. That's 4 more than anybody else without a major in the last 30 years. We've always talked about him being the best player to not win a major. That'd be something if he could do that at the age of 47. And with the way he's been putting and his iron play, I could definitely see that happening here in the next 4 days.
I'm not alone here, but he's my sentimental favorite this weekend. I would love to see him win. In fact, if I could pick one guy, I would pick him.
Yeah, that's a good pick given the way he is
No,
playing.
I mean that I oh, want that you want, that to, I win. Want gotcha. To see win. Yeah. If I had to pick one guy, it would be Justin Thomas. But if I had to pick one guy who I would want to win this tournament, it would be Westwood. I kind of feel the same way about him this weekend as I did about Sergio. I felt like Sergio deserved at least one major in his back pocket before he got too old.
Yeah.
And I feel like Westwood does too.
Dustin Johnson, be interesting to see what he does. The defending champ, he's been 40 under par here in the last 5 years. And a lot of that is because, again, getting back to the greens, he's had the fourth best putting numbers here since 2015. And I'm sure he'll be in the mix. And there's been a lot of hype around Jordan Spieth after getting the win last week at the Texas Open. And I thought Alan Shipnick of Golf Digest really summed up Spieth well. And I've said many times I'm the president of his fan club. I've gotten better. Maybe the slump got me out of being so ridiculous and living and dying on every putt, because if you did that the last 4 years, you've had a lot of slow death. But there are a number of reasons why I just I think the world of him. We do share some things in common. He grew up playing at Brookhaven. I played there in high school. Every junior golfer has the dream of someday going to the PGA Tour, and at some point, you let your mind run wild, and you. I had this all the time, this sports fantasy of somehow being 16, 17 years old and playing in a PGA Tour event, and everyone looks at you as a young sensation. Well, he did that, finished in the top 10 at the age of 16 at the Byron Nelson. So those are some of the reasons why I love the guy and root for him every week. But I thought Alan Shipnuck had a really good column on this, and coming out of the slump and seeing him win at the Texas Open. And he says, as mystifying almost four-year slump that confounded and transfixed the golf world, followed by that cathartic victory just as the Masters beckons, for most tour players, the barrier between them and the fans is much more formidable than a thin rope. But Spieth lets us in and makes us part of the journey. He arrived on tour just as Tiger Woods' health and career were cratering, and had retreated into a well-guarded fortress of his inner self. Spieth is the opposite, a compulsive oversharer whose self-talk between the ropes can be amusing, but often strays into self-flagellation. His roller coaster play has always drawn comparisons to Phil the Thrill, but the key difference is that Mickelson's crack-ups rarely leave a bruise because he seems in on the joke. He is part jester and part stuntman, and his job is merely to entertain us. Spieth is different. His golf is raw, real, and elemental. And I think there is something to that. Comparing him to Arnie, I think sometimes we, in the last 4 years, while he hasn't won, maybe in some ways he's gained popularity because he's appeared more human. And for those who play golf, we have those moments where the two-footer lips out, or the ball goes way right, and so does the next one, and you just want so badly for him to come back, and he does share that with you. I thought that was an interesting observation, and it's really different than any player, at least that I've seen here in the modern game.
I have a lot of thoughts on this. We don't have time right now, but I was a big John McEnroe fan back in the day. It always bothered me how McEnroe let the mental side get to him, and I think he would have been better without that. And I compared Jordan to Dustin Johnson, saw a feature on the Golf Channel last night about Dustin Johnson. He doesn't get bothered by bad shots, where Spieth is freaked out by bad shots. And I thought Dustin Johnson had an interesting comment. He said, I hit bad shots every day. Why would I get upset over them?
Yeah.
And it's a real different mindset, and I think there's a full segment there.
Well, maybe we'll do that here in the next few days as we get underway at Augusta.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.